From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today on the program, we'll be talking about personality. Olga Huzan, a staff writer at The Atlantic, spent 3 months working to improve hers. We'll hear how it went and talk with one of the Illinois experts she consulted about how we might do the same. That's in about 15 minutes. But first, the Illinois General Assembly has a reputation for corruption. In the past few years, several lawmakers have been charged with federal crimes, or at least implicated in corruption cases. Years ago, lawmakers created a position in the General Assembly that's supposed to have responsibility for investigating allegations of wrongdoing among legislators and staff. It's called the Legislative Inspector General. But three of the previous holders of that office have announced their frustrations on their way out the door. Tom Homer, the first LIG back in 2011, called the position a toothless tiger. Last year, when Carol Pope announced her resignation, she called it a paper tiger. What kind of tiger will the next Legislative Inspector General be? Here to help us answer that question is the man himself, Michael McCuskey. He's a former federal trial judge appointed by Bill Clinton to serve in the Central District of Illinois. He's also a former state trial and appellate court judge. He was voted in by the House and Senate last week, began work yesterday, and joins me now. Judge McCuskey, welcome to the 21st show.
Thanks, Brian, for having me on. I look forward to talking to you today.
And listeners, you are also welcome to talk with us at 800-222-9455. The number to join our conversation again, 800-222-9455, where you can always tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. All right, Judge McCuskey, I've interviewed enough judges in my life to know if I ask you what you hope to accomplish in your position, you're probably going to say some version of apply the law to the facts to achieve a just result. But I'm going to take a chance and ask you what you hope to accomplish as Illinois' next Legislative Inspector General.
Well, first I'll start out with my first day, which I can always remember because it's 2-2-22. So while I was voted in last week, Monday was a holiday. Yesterday was my first day. What most people don't understand is I finally found, I knew where the Stratton building was. But I found office 420 and opened the door and realized there's nothing there. I will have to hire the administrative assistant, staff investigators, and start from scratch. So I do have one advantage in focusing on what I will be doing. I have the statutes, and you've already done a good job of explaining. It's the legislature. So if you come to Springfield and get into an argument with a Secretary of State employee, while you want to go to the legislature, park your car, whatever, that's the Inspector General for the Secretary of State. So Tom Homer and I actually served together on the Illinois Appellate Court. It's a small country club of about 50 people at any given time. Mm-hmm. I have a great friendship with Carol Pope. So I'm going to hope that Carol not only will tell me the direction she thought, but help me get my employee. So everybody thinks this is a functioning day-to-day office. Well, it hasn't been for months because Carol retired, and then they asked her to extend her retirement to January 6th, which is basically where I get into it. So I'm looking forward, as you know, as a judge, as a former, I was also, you might say, the Inspector General for the Central District of Illinois Federal Court because I was chief judge for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And all complaints came to me. And the good thing and the bad thing was I was the employment officer for all of the court system in the federal central district in Rock Island, Springfield, Peoria, and Urbana, where I served. So many times I'm getting complaints about employees that I've never seen or met, have to investigate it. It's confidential. You don't want to ruin somebody's reputation on a false claim. So that's where I start.
But I want to come back to that idea of, you know, the authority you do or do not have and might have had as a judge and might not have for disposing of cases in this case. But I want to note your selection for this position was done in a way that did not comply with the law. And I'll be clear, this is not a reflection on you. This is the Democrats in the legislature use their power to put you in without going through this vetting by a review panel that's supposed to be there in the statutes. How do you counter a perception that you're the Democrats' handpicked candidate?
Well, first, I didn't want to be anybody's handpicked candidate. I wanted to apply for the position as I saw Carol leaving. And if you would go right now, this minute, to the website for the Office of the Legislative Inspector General, you'll see that applications ended September 24th. So by the time I got bored with retirement and was interested in this job, there wasn't any place to apply. So I looked at the statute. The statute says 45 days after the resignation of the Legislative Inspector General, which was January 6th, the position would roll into the Office of the Auditor General. So I called the Auditor's General office and said, do you have application forms for the Legislative Inspector General? I called on a Friday, so nobody was really there, and found out that they didn't know anything about it. So they said, we'll take your name, and if something comes up, we'll refer you. So I really, at that point, didn't know what the process was because there was nothing to apply to based on the notice of vacancy. So there wasn't even a new notice of vacancy. So mm-hmm. I guess in Springfield, sometimes they say they're making sausage, and I didn't know they were making sausage until last week. So I don't think I did anything wrong. If they did something wrong, that's on them, not me.
Your predecessor, and let me take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Legislative Inspector General Michael McCuskey, who is a former state and federal judge. He's been in the job for all of one day. As we heard earlier in the conversation, he still needs to hire a staff. But we're sort of laying a groundwork for what our expectations might be in this position. And Judge, your predecessors have identified a number of problems with the setup of the office you're assuming. One is the fact that the Legislative Inspector General cannot begin an investigation on her or his own accord. I mean, you could right now go on some newspaper website and read an allegation of wrongdoing, but if you don't get a complaint about it, you can't do anything about it. Do you see that as a problem, and how do you plan to overcome that?
Well, I hope that all of your listeners and all of the media will give people the fact that there is an Office of a Legislative Inspector General website. And on that website, it has, and Carol Pope did a great job of putting this website up, starts out with things like, what is the jurisdiction? They answer it. What type of conduct is within the Legislative Inspector General's jurisdiction? And as former federal judge, I can tell you that much of the corruption indictments that people read in the paper never goes through the Legislative Inspector General's office. The FBI is investigating, and they're just as concerned about confidentiality as I am. So that goes not to my office. It goes to the Northern District of Illinois, U.S. Attorney's Office. So a lot of this stuff is never going to come to my office. But if they go to the website, they not only get where you can get the complaint form, the jurisdiction, and it goes on and on and answers all those questions that I found out. I know that obviously you know what's going on because you've already asked me the questions, but the general public doesn't know, and that's where they need to go. And we really need, I don't know whether to take out ads or what, but the media needs to remind people where to get the information and how limited the office is. And I failed to answer your question about politics. Somebody said, well, you've been elected as a Democrat. Well, that is Illinois. So the first thing, I was elected as circuit judge as a Democrat because there was already an incumbent Republican judge. And I got elected in a county, and I'm the only Democrat that got elected in the last 40 years. So obviously I had a lot of Republican friends. Governor Thompson was one of the people who helped make me, you might say, a federal judge, because I went through a Republican Senate, which meant a Republican Judiciary Committee. Orrin Hatch, people who are in politics may know these names, Jeff Sessions, mm-hmm. Strom Thurmond, unanimously voted out of the Senate Judiciary, all Republicans voting for me. Unanimous floor, all Republicans voting for me. Twice, my name went through the Illinois State Senate, first for Board of Trustees at Illinois State University, 59-0. Then 6 years later, when I was chairman of the board, through the Senate again in Springfield, 59-0. So last week was the fourth time that my name had been presented for any position, and the first time any Republican ever voted against me. And if you look at the House, where apparently I have more friends, Jim Durkin stood and said, I know, and he's the minority leader in the House, he said, I know Judge McCuskey is eminently qualified. I'm going to object and argue vehemently about the process. I'll say nothing against Judge McCuskey, and today I will be voting present. He didn't vote against me.
Right, process then argument they made.
The process in the House, which wasn't covered by many news outlets, that had 19 Republicans vote present. Five Republicans vote for me. I didn't know one of them. And three Republicans, who I knew very well, took their electronic absence. So in the end, there were 77 votes for me, 16 no's, 19 present, three abstentions. That was not covered by the press.
A few minutes left in our conversation, and I want to ask you about something that another one of your predecessors in this job said, and that's 3 years ago, former federal prosecutor Julie Porter, who was an interim legislative inspector general after the office had gone vacant for a number of years. She had this to say about a case she had investigated, felt it should be made public, but she was prevented from doing so by the bipartisan group of lawmakers known as the Legislative Ethics Commission.
It doesn't do much good for the LIG to be able to conduct an investigation if her findings go into a box that no one ever reads and no one ever sees. The notion that investigations, when they find wrongdoing, are transparent is one that I think is fundamental to the healthy operation of the Office of the Legislative Inspector General.
So I appreciate that she went public with that. To my knowledge, we still don't know what that case that she felt was wrongdoing enough to tell the public about was, and yet the Ethics Commission deadlocked on releasing that information, or at least blocked her from releasing it. If you're in a similar position, will you at least tell us, the people of Illinois, that the Ethics Commission, you know, you have information you feel should be public, and they're saying you can't say what it is?
I don't know. It depends on what it is. I was asked once as chief judge to investigate a sexual harassment complaint against another federal judge. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals directed me to do that. At the end of the investigation, I found it to be unfounded. If that had been made public in any way, that would have ruined that judge's reputation forever. It was unfounded. I remember when State
but
Senator,
this, just to be, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Judge, but this was a founded case that she was talking. In her opinion, it was a, you know, wrongdoing was, in fact, had taken place.
Well, I think they've also amended the statute this summer that we can go ahead without their agreement. That was one of the things that Carol Pope was able to obtain a change in the statute. And I noticed that that still hasn't been corrected on the website of the Office of Legislative Inspector General. And when I went through committee, they were a little, well, you could just tell from their face that they were surprised. So that's one of the first things I have to change. There has been some changes, but as far as confidentiality, I think that this has to be as confidential as possible. But if they say they don't want me to proceed, and I believe I should, I have the right now to refer the case to the county state's attorney, Illinois Attorney General, United States Attorney for any of the three districts in the state. But people forget I'm not the prosecutor. I'm just an investigator.
Sure. Well, we're just about out of time, but I do want to mention, you know, one of the themes we've been talking about, three of your predecessors have resigned in frustration over the limits of the role. Tom Holmer called it a paper tiger. Carol Pope called it a toothless tiger. If you and I are back here doing an interview in 2 years and you've resigned in frustration, I don't know, what should we call it, a torpid tiger? Do you have more hope that the office will be different?
Call me in June of 2023. So I only get the balance of Carol's term and June 30th of 2023. I'll be up for, you might say, retention, and that'll be my birthday. But you call me in June, and I'll tell you what I think after I've finally been on the job for a year, because right now I'm a green banana, hopefully turning yellow with the staff before long.
All right, Judge McCuskey, I'm adding it to my calendar as we speak. Michael McCuskey is the new Legislative Inspector General for the state of Illinois. Thank you for being with us to talk about your
appointment. Thank you for the pleasure of your time.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking about personality, whether you can change or improve your personality, with Olga Hazan, our staff writer for the Atlantic Magazine. That's after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.